The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air. On our 10th anniversary here of being on the air in Redding and Anderson and Shasta County and Tehama County and other places around here.
North State. Yeah. Great radio.
7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community is Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Sue's over there pushing all the buttons. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And then I have, of course, Trish Clark.
Who Good morning.
Sliding through the door like a minute ago.
Okay, but you know,
I bet you're on time.
On time, I am. And it's 79 degrees in downtown Redding. Sunny and hot today with a high near 96. Wind decreasing, and that's a good thing. Tonight, clear with a low around 62. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 79 and a low lower and down to 53. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 72, and on Saturday evening, 48. So we're going to cool considerably off on Sunday. A 20% chance of showers afternoon. Yeah. Sunday night, a slight chance of showers. And Monday, a slight chance of showers. All yeah. around in the 70s. So that's looking pretty good for the next week. We had a couple more days of this ridiculous hot weather. You know, it was 91 degrees last night at like 7 o'clock at night.
I was
it cooling down? It was weird weather.
It was at Shasta College. I'm the technical advisor on one of their plays. They're having a few good men. It's going to be great. Okay.
Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gulf Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They have veterans. It's locally owned and operated. They have veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
As you all know, that during the State of the City address, we had at the end, Julie Winter, in her place as mayor, nobody else on the city council knew about it. She offered an apology to the Native Americans from this region here. And it was kind of, it caught everybody kind of by surprise. But on the phone, we have the chairman of the Redding Rancheria, Jack Potter, with us. Good morning, Chairman.
Good morning. How's Redding doing this morning?
Well, I think Redding's doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just getting ready for my day. This evening, I'll be having dinner with the governor.
The governor of our state?
Yes, Governor Newsom. He's having dinner with all the tribal leaders. Because tomorrow is California Indian Day. It's a holiday for Indians, so we don't get to send our kids to school or nothing tomorrow. And
well, that's good. It's good for a three-day weekend. Yeah. Sure. And that's interesting. I did not know, one, that you were going to have of course, I don't know how I would know unless it was announced by you that you were going to go and have dinner with the governor. So are you going to ask him about a couple other things like this ammo bill and all those things? Or are you just going to talk about Native American?
Yeah, there's a few things that we have that we're going to discuss. And, you know, there's a list of things. And so I'm always grateful, you know, that the state government for years, I believe this is the 57th annual where, you know, tribal leaders have been able to have an in at least once a year.
Well, that's good, though. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Jack, the other day at the State of the City, Mayor Julie Winter, issued an apology to you all and the Wintu and the Winman tribes for what had happened in the past to the Native Americans in this region. And it turns out that you all had been working on this for a period of time.
It wasn't that is correct. So through April of France, where I sat on the city identity project, through April of France, she made connection with myself and Mayor Julie Winters, on, you know, a potential apology. Julie asked if we would write it, and I told her no. I gave her some areas to look up things because I always feel like as a Native American, when you tell people this has happened, that has happened, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other, but it's always best if they research on their own. And so April LaFrance went away and looked these things up, and they came up with the apology. And, you know, because to me it wouldn't have been as important if I had wrote it.
No, I agree with you that hey, I'm gonna give you an apology. Write it for me. I mean, that, there's something. Yeah, I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
To me.
Well, and I told her, no, you write it. And, you know, it was a good gesture, you know, and the purpose was to create healing. And that's why, you know, I was excited. I was thinking, oh, you know, that's cool that a leader, you know, of the city is approaching me, you know. So I think it's probably been in the works for 8 months.
Wow.
On a down low.
Uh-huh. Well,
and then we had a meeting a week or so ago, and she was like, should I continue? She said, because, you know, well, I wasn't sure how you'd be, and I'd be like, I said, what do you mean how I would be? She said, well, because the decision we made. And I said, well, that don't really... to me, why put all this work into something for over the last 8 months just to walk away from it?
And of course, she's talking about the decision for the city to oppose the expansion of the Wind River Casino.
That is correct. And that's why I was kind of, you know, when that came down, I kind of was a little disheartened because I felt like, you know, If none of the other board members knew the history, she knew it. She's been working on it, looking into things. And so, you know, and on those meetings when we would meet, you know, I was educating her, telling her, you know, that the profits from the casino don't just go directly into our pocket. You know, it provides programs. One of the main programs that it budgets is the Cultural Resource Department, and I'm also the Cultural Resource Manager. And it's to restore our culture. We've been able to bring back certain things due to the profits. You know, we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on an app that has just 500 words from the language. And you could download that for free on the Apple iPhone under Redding Rancheria language app. And so the proceeds, it's restoring our culture, it's restoring our identity that is very integral, it's a very integral part of our life. You know, our old people talk about knowing our ways, you must have that connection to the Creator and everything. And through the years, from the genocide to the sterilization of our women up into the 70s here locally, you know, at the hospitals, they were sterilizing our women, you know, up into the late 70s. So less Native Americans would be born, and that was all found out to, you know, the kidnapping of our children as young kids, sending them off to boarding schools where they grew up without their language, without this and that. All that stuff she learned through all of our meetings. And that's why when, you know, she was like, well, it's a no. I was like, you know, I felt like I was going somewhere and educating her. And I was kind of let down that, you know, it would just be a clear no, you know, even after the concession that the tribe gave that we wouldn't do the amphitheater and everything. It was still a no. So I felt like no matter what we said or did, it was already preset.
Well, you
in
know,
their minds. And this is apology standing up on stage, I was like, it don't seem so sincere anymore.
Well, Chairman, can you hang on to, I have to take a break here. Can you hang on to the other side? I have a couple of questions I'd like to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. And Alliance Heating and Air has been voted best in the North State, and there's a reason for that. They are. Alliance Heating and Air has been in the business over 25 years. It's a better-known business. It gives great care to its customers. They're professional. They're on time. They do the job. They do it well. They do it at a fair price. And this is why we use Alliance Heating and Air. You can give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark is here with me, and we'll be right back with Chairman Jack Potter, Chairman of the Redding Rancheria.
Someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Native American Day giveaway at Wind River Resort and Casino. Win a Harley Davidson just in time for Big Bike Weekend. It's simple. Spin the wheels on any slot machine. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Earn four times entries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Drawing is Friday, September 27th at 6 p.m. just before the Beaumont Boys concert. 14 winners, $100 free slot play. Grand prize winner, a brand new Harley Davidson from Redding Harley Davidson. Wind River Resort and Casino. You win.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribbling's with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Freeform Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air. Good morning, everybody. I'm here with Trish Clark, and it is the 26th of September. Quickly running out of September here.
Boy,
have you got your Halloween stuff up yet?
Yeah, no. Oh, I don't do that till October.
Oh, okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur. Now, this is where I go to buy my guns, my firearms. He's got all the accessories they've got. If I want to have my firearms tweaked with, I can't think of a better gunsmith than John Bastiani and his people. They pride themselves on customer service and veterans. You get a discount at Bastiani Arms. 2539 Larkspur, open Tuesday through Saturday. In fact, I'm going to have him go put a new scope on my rifle here. It's time. Hey, we're with the chairman of the Redding Rancheria, Jack Potter, and at the State of the City, Julie Winter at the end of it, Mayor Julie Winter, at the end of the State of the City, she apologized to the Native American tribes that were here up in this region. And we have the chairman of, like I said, Redding Rancheria on. And chairman, this is what I want to ask. Does an apology move things forward any more than it did before the apology? As far as the relations with the city and Redding Rancheria?
Well, Redding Rancheria has always had a good working relationship with the city. I remember 27 years ago before we opened at the casino, the talks of the people of the city, they had concerns that we were going to bring in the mafia, we were going to be overrun with all these crazy or stereotypical things that people always put forward when it deals with casinos and stuff. And the tribe has shown that we are run by the tribe. We're not run by the mafia. We've established those working relationships. I remember when the city of Redding and the county of Shasta never even had an exhibit at the state fair because they couldn't afford to. The tribe stepped up and paid top dollar to have our region represented at the state fair. And from that meeting, I remember they said, well, thank you guys, but you guys can't mention you guys have a casino and stuff. And so we've built on that relationship. We actually have our electrical services is provided by the city of Redding. We have a water agreement. We have a utility agreement. So we have a longstanding relationship, and, for the Native Americans, this apology, it may create healing. I've always been raised, you've got to acknowledge what happened in order to move forward. And so hopefully this apology, if there's some meat to it, if it's not just words, and it creates a change, even though as a sovereign government, the city governments and stuff are subordinates of the county and of the state, and so tribes are equal to the state, so our sovereignty is higher in ranking than the city.
Do you think that but, when you say, it always seems, I've lived here for 12 years, and it seems like there's always been a good working relationship. And I always thought that there was a good working relationship between the rancheria and the city and the county. Do you think that the vote on the letter they sent opposing the expansion of the casino is going to change that?
I'm hoping it don't. Because, when we're successful and out there, there are mitigation agreements that we've got to sit down and negotiate if we choose to go with their services and stuff. And so that's why we're kind of taken aback. And the city knows that even DeQuisto, he said, at that meeting, even though we're sending this letter, it's not up to us.
Yeah, that's all. This all lies in the hands of the BIA, doesn't it?
Correct, at the Department of Interior.
Do we know when they're going to have a decision on this?
Probably because right now they're responding to every legitimate concern. And so if there was a legitimate concern about the EIS, they will address that. They'll forward it to the tribe. It'll get released to the city. It'll get released and become public notice, public information. And then the tribe will have to look at that and say, okay, this is how we plan on addressing this. And then it goes back to them for the final.
Jack, this is Trish Clark. I have just a question for clarification. Has the determination being made that that is sovereign land and that the casino, in fact, can be built there? Is that process finished?
That process is not finished, and that's why we were, you know, like taken aback that the city made a stance in the middle of the process. We don't even know, you know, some of the concerns they were asking about this and that, we don't have the final yet. And so we couldn't answer some of the questions. It's in the federal government's hands right now. And so until it returns back to us, we don't know how to respond to that. And so I feel like we weren't given a fair chance, you know. And that's why we took such actions like, okay, we'll remove this, thinking that was their main concern, because that was what a lot of the people said, the noise and stuff from the amphitheater. So we made that judgment call. All right, as the tribe, we'll pull this. We hear you, citizenry of the city and county. We'll pull this. But that wasn't
enough.
So we're waiting to hear, you know, and we should get that back, and they'll get it back, and then we can, you know, figure out how we're going to address the legitimate concerns and move forward. And so they made a judgment call to send a letter against something that we weren't really, that's still going through the process, and it's up to the federal government.
Yeah, one of the other things that I've heard that people are concerned about is the fact that in that process of changing the land over to the sovereign land, Indian land, that you're including the hotel and the gas station, the existing hotel and gas station, that are now producing taxes in the city that will no longer produce sales tax and bed tax.
So our constitution, each tribe has their own constitution, and in our constitution that has never been amended since ratification in 1983, it directs tribal council to expand our land base and get lands and place them into trust. Well, you know, even like I had a conversation with area BIA guy, Virgil Akins, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, Red and Rancheria is an exemplary tribe where, you know, some tribes, you know, acquire the land and start going through the process. Well, while you're going through that process, you can't change the land, you can't build on it, you can't do nothing until it goes through that. He said what he would recommend is for tribes to, you know, acquire the land and do like we've done, you know, start the businesses and stuff, then go through the process. Because, like, for this I-5 property, we acquired it in 2003. 16 years, we're still going through that process.
Right.
Okay.
And we're not able to do anything.
So the plan. So the plan always was then is to bring the convenience store and the hotel back into it.
To bring those lands in, and so we had loans on them when we built the mini mart, when we built the hotel. So as long as you have encumbrances on them, you can't go through the trust process. And so we've paid those businesses off, and so now that's why the process has started.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that seems to be one of the big sticking points for a couple of the council people when they heard that.
Yeah, and in fact, maybe the city council is not familiar with, they receive federal dollars for any acreage that is in trust. And so that takes care of that. So
well, that's kind of like the
out of,
Jack. That's kind of part like
of trust,
I'm sorry. That
they get money.
Okay.
But that's like the payment in lieu of taxes money, which has depreciated considerably over the years.
No. So I think right now, as I was looking, any trust lands in the county of Shasta, Shasta County is receiving $2 million.
Jack, you know what? We so much appreciate you coming in this morning or talking to give us a call this morning. I would like to love to have another show with just you. You know, you come in for an hour and we can discuss this whole thing.
All right, I'll do that.
I know you will. You know, you're more than willing to come out. I mean, I called yesterday at the last minute, and Jack said, "No, I'll be glad to come on and talk about this," because you know what? This whether whichever side you're on this. This is a huge thing that's happening in our city and our county. It will have a huge impact. It could have a huge impact on the citizens here. And the more information we get out, the more that people are willing to talk about this, I think the better it is, especially since the EIS is probably going to come back again, or EIB is going to come back again, and there'll be meetings to talk about this. So we appreciate you being here this morning, Chairman. And tell us how you felt about what happened at the State of the City, which seems to have taken, you know, all the articles in the paper were about that and nothing about anything else that was going on except Chick-fil-A looks like it's moving here. That's the two things that's the two things I took away. Chick-fil-A's moving here and the apology. So
as I was setting backstage listing, I was like, okay, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I don't know the exact number of staff Chick-fil-A is going to have, or the new Les Schwab's, or this, but I was like, I know our casino expansion is going to provide an additional 800 to 1,000 permanent jobs. And so of all the businesses that were announced at the State of the City, I was like, all of those combined, we're still going to provide that much more jobs as compared to all of those that were mentioned.
Yeah, probably twice as many jobs. Yeah.
Somehow we're bad for the community.
Well, you know that there's a lot of people that believe in the expansion.
A lot of people don't want Costco there either.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? And it's people are afraid of change. But so Jack, thanks so much for being with us today. And like I said, I want to have you back on where we can sit down and discuss all of this. So thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Have a good morning.
You too. All right. Bye bye. Hey, we're going to take a break. I'm going to bring back, after this, I'm bringing on Redding's newest Marine. And I like to think maybe I had a small part to do with this. But this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, who has, by the way, a Stars and Stripes package for all of you active duty or veterans or retired or active first responders. All types of great deals on service, free movies, no receiver plan restrictions. B&T Satellite's reaching out there to our community. It's a veteran-owned business, so he understands veterans. And he understands that, hey, it's okay to give a deal to our veterans. But it's B&T Satellite. You can't call the 800 number. You got to call B&T Satellite and Doug Tooley, 241-3474-241-DISH. That's B&T Satellite. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:33 in the morning, 70, gosh, let me look at that temperature one more time here. It's 74 degrees. It's going to be going up to 96 today. We'll be right back.
Bike Weekend roars, rumbles, and rides into Reading October 11th, 12th, and 13th. Experience the Remembrance Joyride and the Think Pink Poker Run. Friday starts with a special concert at the Cascade Theater with ZZ Tush. Vendor booths at Big League Dreams Saturday and Sunday, plus great food and drinks and live music from the Fright Brothers. Brought to you in part by Russ Brown Motorcycle Attorneys, Sierra Steel Harley Davidson, Camping World, KHSL TV 12, and KMVN TV 24. For event details and to register, go to BigBikeWeekend.com or register at Sierra Steel Harley Davidson in Chico. Big Bike Weekend, October 11th, 12th, and 13th.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
And now, back to our show.
American soldier and American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand.
Welcome back to Street Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall there. The veteran's voice right here. That I just threw that one in, too. Here on
given the
KCNR.
Song.
Yeah, KCNR.
And the guests.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. 7:37 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank is a locally owned, locally operated bank who your friends and neighbors are in there wanting to get, make sure that you can move your dreams forward. And you can do that by heading down to one of their branches right here in Redding at 1845 California Street, right really close to Jack's. Everybody knows where Jack's is. And also, of course, their headquarters at 192 Hartnell Avenue. Go on down and see how they can help you with anything that you need in your local bank. Every so often, I mean, I get a phone call from people. Not every so often, it's like every day. On something else is happening. Anything from dogs being taken off their property to... you know, something's happening. Somebody's electricity's been turned off or something. But every so often, I do get a call from somebody that's interested in the military. And I got a phone call from my, our guest here, George Pasadakis, who gave me a call one day and said his son is thinking about joining the military. And would I mind talking with him and his wife, Mary, and Mary's here with us, too, talking to his son. So we met down the street here at Maxwell's, and we sat around and talked for, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, something like that. George, you just pull that over there in front of you, too, Sharon. Why'd you give me a call?
Well, it came as kind of a surprise to us when Alex said he wanted to join the military and in particular the Marines. And I had been on your show a couple of years earlier. You interviewed me for from Apex for cybersecurity, and I remember learning about your background and being a lieutenant colonel in the Marines, and both Mary and I wanted to get Alex as much exposure as possible to people that had been in the military to learn about their experiences, what it was like, you know, good and bad, what they could learn from it, and, you know, what he could do to maximize his experience and go in with both eyes open. So that's really the main reason.
Okay, and Mary, what did you think about the my baby I mean, you know, that's the way it is. It's my baby wants to go and be a Marine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. My first reaction was total resistance because yep. I was afraid. I don't think any mother, I mean, I didn't give birth to Alex, raise him over my head, and think to myself, maybe he'll fight for our country and risk his life for everybody. So it was hard to swallow at first.
But now, Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marine.
Good morning, sir.
Okay. You know what? Alex, what did you think? Okay, we sat down, and you knew you wanted to be a Marine, but you wanted – and so what happened during our conversation there?
Yeah, so in our conversation, we talked about how boot camp's going to be. We discussed different MOSs, you know, military.
Let me ask you a question. Was I right about boot camp or kind of right about
boot
camp?
You were extremely accurate about boot camp. You gave some good advice, let me tell you.
Now, let me tell you something. I went through boot camp in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember almost to the day
everything
that happened.
Right.
And I don't remember Trisha's name. Sometimes she walks through the door. I see her all the time. But I am just happy to hear that boot camp has not changed. I mean, tenets and the basis of how we train young men and women to be a Marine hasn't changed. So it was pretty much the way I said it.
Right, yeah. So I think the Marine Corps boot camp is one of the only boot camps that's really kept its tradition. You know, the Marines, I've learned, keeps their tradition. I know in the Army they have something called a stress card now where you can just hold up a card and, like, the drill instructors will back off. There's nothing like that in the Marine Corps. You could tell that, you know, the past guys that have been there have done the exact same thing if you've done, walked in the exact same sidewalk and everything. It's all just a cycle.
It's exactly the same stuff. Those yellow footprints have been there since World War II, and the only thing they do is repaint them.
Oh, yeah.
So when you go through boot camp, what is your your first day?
So the first day is when you it's late at night and you are at the USO. It's kind of a place at the San Diego airport where you wait for all of the poolies, new to be recruits, to go into boot camp and step on those yellow footprints. So we're all waiting and we get on the buses to go to boot camp. We step on the yellow footprints. The drill instructor comes up, gets us off the bus, step on the yellow footprints, and that's where it all begins. It's just chaos. You know, we start processing. We put our stuff away.
That chaos is on purpose, too.
Oh, yeah. No.
It is. That's – they want to cause chaos in your civilian life as they start stripping that away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you hit the yellow footprints.
Right, so you hit the yellow footprints, and then they make you look at a board and kneel down, and they read off, like, the rules for boot camp. You know, if you try and run away from my base, we will come down, find you, and throw you in the brig. Like, you can't escape, things like that. You know, just, like, putting the mindset of boot camp into you the first 30 seconds you're there, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then you're going to go into the contraband room where they take everything out of your pockets, check you out, make sure you don't have anything you're not supposed to have, and go over some more things, and then that's when you get in line to get your hair cut. And that was one of the most memorable moments because I went in with my best friend, and we were right by each other in line, went through the buddy system, and I can remember having our hair, looking at him, and then just sitting on that chair, getting up, and there was like a little window, but you could see your reflection in that. I looked at myself bald, and I was like, I was scared. I was like, wow, I did not know my head was shaped this way. I didn't know how to freckle right here. Like, this is crazy. And then I looked at my best friend, and we were just like, oh, wow, dude, this is happening. You know, all this time building up, waiting to go to boot camp, and now we're here bald at, like...
I remember that. You know,
30 seconds in.
Yeah. I remember that exact time, and they're sitting there, and they said, if you've got any scars on your head, let the barber know.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when he's cutting, he's cutting it close, and I sat down, and I said, I have a scar on my head. And he goes, so? No difference.
Yeah, they didn't
and you're right, and when you stand up, you look at them because they're mirrors, and you're looking at everybody else, saying, "Boy, these guys look kind of funny."
Oh, yeah.
And then you get a look at yourself, and I'm like,
"And you're one of them." Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that. Okay, so after that, then you and then you started
right. So after that, we started getting in lines to get like our first group of gear issued to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into this room, we got our first pair of Marine Corps trousers, we got a skivvy shirt and our web belt, and then we got our Go Fasters. So there's like these running shoes that aren't very, you know, appealing to the eye, and they know that on purpose. They know how to make you look like a recruit. Definitely separates you from all the Marines that are there. And then you go into like a big brief room, and they give you some speech or briefs about some stuff, and then that's when you just start processing all night. You get to your receiving barracks, you meet your receiving drill instructors, and you just start organizing everything. You put away your civilian clothes in this box. You get issued some more gear. It's just a big, long process. Receiving really was a long process, but
okay,
yeah, it was necessary.
Okay, and then you went into when you were assigned to your regular platoons.
Right. So,
well, tell you what, let me take a break here. I have to, even though I don't want to.
Rick,
I can talk about this all the time. Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, where Trish and Linda hang out at on their free time. That's the only full service jewelry store. Trish is nodding her head.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
They got it all there. Really great people. Super prices there. They can build it. They can design it, build it, bring in gems from all over the world. That's Four Winds Jewelry. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Alex, George, and Mary Pasadakis. Our newest Marine in Reading has come home. We'll be right back.
Call a Marine. Get a 911. They're built to improvise, adapt, and overcome.
The Beaumont Boys, live at Wind River Resort and Casino. Just a couple of boys from Beaumont, Texas, who turned out to be country music icons.
I got the Jeep, she got the power.
Mark Chestnut, Tracy Byrd, back-to-back Friday, September 27th. Tickets on sale at windriver.com.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here, so this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with How about Trish Clark here today? It's Thursday, the 26th of September. It's 74 degrees, going up to 96 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a better-known business. Guy was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he's got a lot of stories too. Chuck Kenny does, and we're here with George and Mary Pasadakis, whose son enlisted in the Marine Corps and has just returned from boot camp. We're talking to Alex about his first few days there. Alex, as you know, and we were talking during the break, after you meet your DIs, when's it going to take you through the rest of your time there? That night, I remember on my first or second night there, people were crying.
Right.
And same thing, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, I can remember, they call it Black Friday. You never want to tell them that it's called Black Friday because they don't like that, but we called it Black Friday. Receiving week's over with. You're all processed, and then you go to your actual platoon. You go to your actual squad bay. So, yeah, so we get there, and we're all on the quarterdeck. Pretty much the quarterdeck's like the front of the squad bay. We're all sitting down, you know, knife hands, looking all upright, making sure we look good. And the drill instructors walk out of their duty hut. The duty hut is the place where they kind of stay, close the door. You don't look in the duty hut, you know.
Nobody looks in the duty
hut. Yeah, nobody looks in the duty hut. So,
and you don't want to be called into the duty hut.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's bad. So
report to the duty hut. No.
Exactly. So they walk out of the duty hut, you know, like looking robotic. They do a left face, and then the drill instructor breaks off, and he gives this whole speech like, "These are your drill instructors. They will be responsible for you. Blah, blah, blah. You disrespect them. They will disrespect," like, things like that. And you're like, wow, man, this is where it really begins. And then the kill hat breaks off and goes, "Oh, you're on your feet right now. Aye, aye, sir." And that's when it all begins, you know.
The kill hat?
Yeah, they call him the kill hat now.
This is the tough guy.
Yeah, this is the only reason he's there is to mess you up. Like, that's it.
So you've got your senior drill instructor who would be like a staff sergeant probably a staff sergeant.
Yeah.
He's kind of the father figure that's out there to talk to you. Then you've got the two others. One's kind of in between, but one of them there is to make your whole life miserable.
Exactly.
And, it hasn't changed. It's worked.
It really
hasn't. It's worked for 247 years, so it works. Okay. So you go through the training, and I want to get into the crucible, because this happened after this just happened.
Right,
in the last,
yeah, so that's,
I guess, 20 years
ago. Yeah, exactly.
And the crucible is?
The crucible is the final stepping stone into becoming a United States Marine. So all throughout boot camp, we would be training, preparing for the crucible. And once we got up to Camp Pendleton, Camp Pendleton's the third phase of boot camp. It's where you start phasing out of learning how to be a recruit and starting to do training on how to be a Marine, you know, like shooting your rifle. And we would go on hikes to prepare for the crucible. And when the time for the crucible was super early in the morning, and we hiked. And the hikes, let me tell you.
You stopped walking the day you got in there.
No, yeah. You don't get to talk to your buddies when you hike. You're screaming all this knowledge. You're just all you're doing is just screaming and then tapping your buddy's backpack. They don't let you daydream. You're just there to be miserable, you know. So the crucible begins, and what we did was we did all kinds of obstacle courses. We would hike to a different obstacle course. We would have to scale over it. And they would make, at each station, they would make one of us the leader. And we would have to lead our entire, like, they call it a stick. It's a break off of your platoon.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to lead them through that certain obstacle course and, like, use some leadership skills. And at each obstacle course, they had a poster of a Medal of Honor recipient. And the drill instructor that was guiding you would go over that Medal of Honor recipient. And each Medal of Honor recipient poster, the obstacle course correlated to what he did, you know. So if he, like, jumped on a grenade or whatever, you would have to, you know, like, they'd throw a grenade, and then you'd have to, like, jump over an obstacle and, like, jump on it. So something like that. Something that would relate to that obstacle course. Mm-hmm. So
Now this is I really like the way you put it. The transition from the recruit training into becoming a Marine. They've got you there. They're putting people into leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
Now the teamwork. You've learned for this whole time how to think as a team.
Exactly. On the Crucible, that was the ultimate, you know, teamwork event that we had, but all throughout boot camp there was all kinds of, like, "Dude, get out of my way, like, why didn't you do this?" You would all start arguing. And at that phase, at the very end of, you know, boot camp, during the crucible, we all kind of knew how to work together, how to, like, get over arguing all the time, things like that. And we were just, at that point, we were all brothers, man. We're all in it together. We're all going through the exact same thing, and we pretty much just helped each other out. And we got through the crucible, like, you know, I mean, it wasn't no problem, obviously, but, you know, it helped out a lot that we created that camaraderie and brotherhood.
Something that you're going to see when you go into the, you know, as you go forward. In the
exactly, yeah.
Okay, so then at the end of the Crucible.
Yeah, so at the end of the Crucible, there's the last big thing that you have to get through. It's called the Reaper. And the Reaper is a giant mountain that you have to climb, and with a full main pack and a rifle. So we get to the base of the Reaper, and the truck that leads the whole company goes up the hill, the Reaper, and you just see this truck like sliding out because it's so steep. And you're like, man, I have to walk up that right now. And you're super tired and hungry from the Crucible. So we all start walking up, and our senior drill sergeant gives a speech like, this is your last push. Once you get to the top of this, you're going to be United States Marine. Claim the title for the rest of your life. Super motivating. Like, that was like the first motivating thing he said to us all of boot camp. You know, we're like, wow, man, this is it. So we walk up the Reaper, and that was, I mean, you could touch the ground in front of you. You were just almost, like, dudes were crawling, dudes were crying, but the drill sergeant were pushing us up there. We finally get up the first hill, and then it goes down, then it goes up again, down and up, and you're like, man, when does this end? And then you finally get to the end of it, and your platoon's waiting at the base, at the last hill of the Reaper. And once your platoon catches up, you guys sprint to the top of the Reaper. And once you hit the top of the Reaper, you're now United States Marine. You know, we put our packs down, we slung our rifles, and we all got in formation to receive our Eagle, Globe, and Anchor, and finally claim the title of United States Marine. So that was, like, the biggest moment in my entire life. It's just...
I'm getting chilled.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
I'm just saying.
It was serious. And the drill instructor comes up to me, you know, congratulations, Pasadegas, you know, you worked really hard. And I was like, what? Like, he's talking to me like a normal person right now. And then once we all got it, we grouped up with our company first sergeant and sung the Marine hymn for the first time as Marines. And that was like, I was crying. Everybody was just crying, you know, making my parents proud, making my whole family proud, friends proud, that said people that thought we couldn't do it and everything. And just, all the camaraderie.
Did your buddy make it through?
Yep, he made it through, you know.
It helps when you have a buddy.
It did. You know, we could talk about home together and everything, but, yeah. You know, that was a big moment for me.
Well, you know, congratulations, Marine.
Thanks.
Now, okay, I got to get back to your parents. Now, okay, right. So you were there for his graduation. Either one, I don't care. You were there for his graduation from San Diego. How was that?
That was fantastic. We actually stayed on base for 2.5 days, and they had family day on a Thursday, and then his actual graduation was Friday, so we got to... hang with Alex on family day from 12 noon to 5 p.m. on base. He couldn't leave the base, and we picked him up, and I think he, you know, they had food trucks, so I think he ate a couple of cheeseburgers, a grilled chicken sandwich and fries, and had like 2 hours of stories just coming out of his mouth constantly. But it was amazing to see him when he was released to us.
Okay, yeah. Mom, what changes have you seen in your baby?
Well, honestly, before Alex went to boot camp, he made his decision to become a Marine probably 11 months before he went. And in that 11 months, he went to the gym and worked out. And so he was bulky. I would show friends pictures of him of when he first started on August 5th, very skinny. Uh-huh. And he got very huge from the gym. And so we were told by other friends that were Marines that he'd probably lose that because boot camp is more about endurance and all that.
Right.
So he did come back physically smaller, and we knew that. But what really changed is he stood taller. And it's more of a overall feeling that I would get. Like the moment I realized what had happened was we were at like a fast food restaurant, and there was a crowd of different types of people in that restaurant. And I'm, as a mom, as parents, you're always kind of looking around, protecting your kids. And there was this moment where I thought, wow, if something were to happen, I realized Alex would protect us. I mean, it was so obvious that
his attitude changed.
Yeah.
It does not. Well, you know what? Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. And Alex, I'm proud of you, son. It's not easy.
It is not.
And you saw people drop out during your platoon,
right.
During your time there. A lot of times people can't make it physically, they can't make it mentally.
Mm-hmm.
They're set back, given another chance in a different platoon.
Right.
They would have to have ripped my leg off before I would have done that. Because once you start with your platoon, you want to finish your
exactly.
platoon.
Exactly. It's like the biggest nightmare.
Yeah. They're still training Marines like they used to.
Yeah.
And now you're off to the infantry course.
Yes.
Where you'll get pick up your MOS.
Yes.
Military Occupational Specialty. So, again, congratulations.
Thank you, Mr.
For the whole family. And thank you so much for taking time to be in here today.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming in and sharing with the community. I think that was a great insight to something a lot of us aren't familiar with. So.
My pleasure.
Especially the Crucible. Because, my son-in-law went through that years ago, went through the Crucible.
Okay.
And he still talks about it now,
mm-hmm.
Years later. So, anyway, thank you so much and Semper Fi, Marine.
Silver Fidelis, thanks for having us.
You bet. Okay, hey, we'll be right back after the after these messages with, I believe, Gary Bozo is going to join us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
As the acting director of National Intelligence continues his testimony before the House Intelligence Committee, the White House is speaking out following the committee's release of a whistleblower's complaint.
Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham says nothing has changed with the release of this complaint, which she describes as nothing more than a collection of third-hand accounts of events and cobbled-together press clippings, all of which shows nothing improper. The spokeswoman says the president has nothing to hide and that the White House will continue to push back on the hysteria and false narratives being peddled by Democrats and many in the mainstream media.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston, Intelligence Committee member Republican Devin Nunes, says this latest controversy reminds him a lot of the Russia collusion drama.
What we have with this storyline is another Steele dossier. I'll note here that in the Democrats' mania to overturn the 2016 elections, everything they touch gets hopelessly politicized. With the Russia hoax, it was our intelligence agencies which were turned into a political weapon to attack the president. And now today, the whistleblower process is the casualty.
How is the U.S. economy faring?
The Commerce Department says the economy grew at a modest 2% annual rate in the second quarter. It's a pace that's sharply lower than the 3% plus growth rate seen over the past year. Many analysts believe growth will slow further in coming quarters as global weakness and rising trade tensions exert their toll. The Commerce Department says the April through June increase in the GDP, the economy's total output of goods and services, slipped from a brisk 3.1% gain seen in the first quarter. Bob Agnew reported.
Later today, the CDC to update its numbers on vaping-related lung ailments. Vaping blamed for hundreds of illnesses, at least 11 deaths. Wall Street, the Dow down 98 points. The NASDAQ is off 53. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, holding what's being billed as a community dialogue with a hand-picked audience.
Tens of thousands of people applied to attend this first public forum, but only 150 were chosen. The government says it used a computer program to randomly select participants, and that another random selection process will determine who's allowed to speak and in what order. Because of the potential for angry exchanges, officials say those swearing or interrupting during this televised event will be removed. Hong Kong's leader and other senior figures from her administration will be there.
That's a BBC's Stephen McDonald. The Dutch government now giving new chips to businesses and healthcare institutions to help them cope with Brexit fatigue and prepare for Britain's departure from the European Union whenever that may occur. Right now, it looks like it'll be the end of October. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. going to bat for persecuted Muslims in China.
The Trump administration is increasing pressure on Beijing over what it says is the systemic oppression of ethnic minority Muslims. During this week's UN General Assembly, the State Department hosted a panel to highlight the struggle of Muslim Uyghurs from far western China. Uyghurs at the meeting say the Chinese government have placed thousands in re-education camps, forced them to live with minders in their homes, and surveilled and harassed them both at home and abroad. China says the camps are for vocational training, and crackdowns on Uyghurs are necessary to root out Muslim extremists. I'm Walter Ratliff.
The House passing a bill that would grant legal marijuana businesses access to banking. The bill passed 321 to 103. The strength of near-unanimous support from Democrats, Republicans split on the bill. Measure's prospects in the Senate considered uncertain, although supporters say the amount of Republican backing in the House is a good sign. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Town Hall of the Air. Good morning, everybody. 8:05 in the morning. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Today's the 26th of September, Thursday. And I'm here, of course, with Trish Clark, because it's Thursdays.
Love
Good
Thursday.
Morning.
Absolutely. You know, it's 80 degrees in downtown Redding as we speak, looking for a high today of 96. Low this evening, it's going to cool down to about 52. You know, it's wide range in temperatures that we get this time. I'm always amazed at that. On Friday, sunny with a high near 79 and a low of 53. On Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 72. And a low of 48 on Sunday, a 20% chance of showers. And on Sunday evening, a slight chance of showers. And on Monday, a slight chance of showers. So we're looking for a cooling trend and some moisture, and that's good. And let's hope that the winds don't continue with all this red flag warning, because that's really scary stuff when it's 100 degrees.
Well, PG&E cuts out 36,000 customers.
48,000.
48,000 customers.
Wow, yeah. And everybody except some in Butte County have now been restored. But that's... Yeah, spooky stuff. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
So, good morning, everybody. Today is our kind of our State of Jefferson Day, and we've got with us Terry Raposa, and I don't know if Mark's called in yet. Have we got a phone call? Okay, not yet.
Yeah, Mark's going to call in about 8:30.
Oh, okay, great. Terry has a show on our station on Sundays, and it's called State of Jefferson. Can you, first of all, tell us about Terry Raposa? You know, after all these years I've known you, I don't really know a lot about you. Who is Terry Raposa?
Well, I started out as a child, and I was born, and I wanted to be with my mother, so that's pretty much it. I mean, well, really,
were you
really
born around here? Are you from here?
No, I'm actually from Redwood City. Born and raised in the Bay Area, was born in the Palo Alto Hospital, went to St. Joseph's Grammar School, went to Woodside High School, went to Kenyatta College, graduated, went to work for Long's Drug, met my wife Sally there, came up here as a sales rep. Her and I became a sales team, and then we started our own business in 1986. We got an idea of, you know, we have all these different gas stations around, all these different places that... You know, maybe they could have gloves and sunglasses and things like that and sell those things to the tourists coming through. So we started the little distributor company and just went on from there. And we still dabble in that.
Okay. And I know that you can always pick up a hat about
even
our,
a Trump hat.
A Trump hat. I know it's hard to believe. Have you been selling many of the Warren or Bernie hats?
Who?
Okay. How'd you get in the State of Jefferson movement?
Well, basically, Mark Baird called me in 2013, and I didn't really know Mark very well. And he called and he said, hey, this is what's going on. He knew that Sally and I had worked with the Tea Parties. We had helped start about 25 Tea Parties, and we had worked exclusively with them and a lot of other organizations, just trying to make sure our constitutional rights were being adhered to by the government.
We weren't terribly successful at that, though, Terry.
Well, no,
just,
we weren't.
They're just getting stomped all over the place.
But, Trish, you know, and I love you,
but
Trish.
But you tried.
I love you, because when you come on this program, I really like to listen to it. You always have a heart for what's really going on in the United States, and you have great political stuff. But I'm going to give you the silver bullet today. And I know you and I have been waiting all our lives for the silver bullet, and we have it, and you're going to hear it here on KCNR 1460, 96.5 FM. Okay? And it's streamed live. So anyway, we'll go to that in a second. But getting back to what you were saying, you know, as Mark Baird called, we discussed, hey, you know, this is what's going on. You know, California is just too big to be governed. We have one senator for every million people. We have one assemblyman for every 500,000. It's impossible for them to give us the adequate representation we need to have. I mean, as Washington said, 30,000, he was talking about the federal government, Trish, as Washington said, 30,000 people is liberty, 40,000 people is tyranny. And he's talking about the United States of America.
Yeah.
Here we've got one for a million and one for 500,000. So we understood that we weren't, our voices weren't being heard, and he enlisted me to help him, and we have a, I always call him Kemosabe, and he calls me Tonto. So that's sort of the way we've, we roll.
Well, okay, so when this happened, I don't think there's anybody, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, thinks that the Northern California region is being represented fairly. Now, I'm not saying ably, but just fairly.
Well, it depends on what you mean by Democrat. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, we have always talked about the base of the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with the base, and I know that Trish can attest to this, the problem is that we want the Republican leadership to live up to what their platform is. We love their platform. We love what they what they're about. The problem is that the people we elect don't do that. And so with the Democrats, they have the complete opposite. They do exactly what their people want them to do. The people want their free stuff. They want free education. They want to have freedom of choice. They want to have all these different things. And, you know, the leadership of the Democrat Party is basically just saying, okay, we'll give you whatever you need. All that free stuff. An Obama phone, right?
Yep. They walk in concert and speak as one and never get the Republicans to do that.
You got it.
They don't stick to their platform.
Well, I think a lot of it is because once you get there, you know, we went down when we first talked to Carl, and that's a pretty interesting – that's I'm glad you brought that up. When Mark and I went down the first time to talk to actually, it was Steinberg, who was the Senate pro tem at the time, or excuse me, the Assembly pro tem at the time. We went down and talked to his chief of staff. Once we explained to her about representation, she said, your argument really holds water. The problem you're going to have is that the legislative body of California likes it the way it is. Ted Gaines has got 12 houses. Did he have 12 houses when he first got elected?
No.
Okay, how many of those guys are coming out of there millionaires? So the real deal is that we have Republicans, and this is something that we'll be bringing up on our program on Sunday at 9 a.m. We have Republicans that are using the Democratic National Committee server for their website.
Whoa.
Their server. And we have screenshots of it and everything. This is all stuff that we're going to be revealing. And again, this morning, folks, is the silver bullet. You want to know how we fix everything? We've got the silver bullet right here on KCNR.
Okay, and we're going to take a break and let you talk about the silver bullet when you come back. Is that okay?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay. Hey,
look. I like your hair, man.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
I kind of like yours. You know.
Except, is it? You got longer. More. You got more,
except
I think.
Except longer. Hey, Trish.
Yeah.
Sleep number.
I know.
Did you know
55.
That is now the official bed of the NFL? That more than 1,800 NFL players are now sleeping on sleep number beds. On some of them, like the Miami Dolphins, maybe they should. Maybe they need to change their sleep number setting. You know,
I think so.
Now the Dallas Cowboys, on the other hand, will probably. Yeah, I like that sleep number setting because we're 3-0.
Against three of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I saw that one. Saying. Oh, no, I just kind of passed that one on to everybody. But, you know, the big thing that everybody has in common is, because Trisha's got a sleep number, and, of course, we have a sleep number, is that you sleep better than you ever have. You can adjust that bed to any firmness or softness that you want. And, you know, Linda's sleep number setting is 40. My sleep number setting is 60. So there's two distinct different sleeping portions of the bed, and it helps you when you get in that day. Maybe you've had a big day, maybe you've had a tough day, that you can change that too. I don't know if you ever do that.
Time to time. 55 is where I've been pretty consistently. I've had my bed for over 15 years, but from time to time, depending upon maybe a tweak in the bed or a hard day outside, you might want to up that or down it. And you can only do that with a sleep number bed.
And with the new sleep number IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping, and then it adjusts to you as you move through the night. So right now you can go on down to the sleep number store in the Target Shopping Center, and from $999, you can buy yourself a Sleep Number 360 smart bed and get your competitive edge with a proven quality mattress. Sleep Number. the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. We'll be right back with Terry Raposa and State of Jefferson right after these messages.
To be an American, where at least I know I'm free. But I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Marianne, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea. After looking at some other options, when she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Planning an amazing party? Sit back and relax. Mingle and have a few cocktails. Exclusive private VIP space. Plan your VIP event with us. Call Group Sales and reserve the lounge today. 530-339-7454. Choose from a variety of options, each offering a personal touch. Customized to suit your needs. Up to 40 guests. Starting at $250. Experience the lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. Details at windriver.com.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Redding or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
And now back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 8:18 in the morning here on the 26th of September, and it's about 74 degrees out there, going up to 96 today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. I want to remind everybody that Friday, October 4th at Wind River is the Seroptimus International of Reading's 22nd annual Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon. For more information, you can check out SeroptimusReading.org, or you can give Lorraine a call at 530-227-0251. At the same time, on October 5th, they're having the Black and White Boondocker Ball Dinner Dance and Costume Contest out at the Anderson VFW. And the proceeds for that will go to our Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, which is moving along smartly. Trisha and I are here with Terry Raposa, who is the host of State of Jefferson. It's on at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings right here on KCNR. And we're talking about a variety of things. Something about Terry that we didn't know, that he's also sang in a band when he was in high school and played what did you play? Did you play guitar or something, Terry?
No, I just sang.
You just sang. You were just a front man, huh? Did you have long hair? Did you, what kind of music was it?
What did Robin Williams say? If you could remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rock and roll.
It was just rock and roll, huh?
Rock and roll.
That's interesting. You know, can you picture this? Yeah, this guy's
Mike cool. Shreve was great. He was the drummer. He still drums, but he was the drummer for Santana, and just an amazing drummer, but a real kick in the butt. One time we were working on the harmony, and we wanted to reach a high note in a harmony, so, you know, he couldn't hit it, and so he stood on the chair to try to hit it, you know, went up a ladder. Hilarious guy. Anyway, Jimmy's a drummer.
Yeah, Jimmy, who's on the line. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, folks. Yeah, Michael Shreve is one of my favorites, too. That guy was awesome.
Are you as good as him, buddy?
put it this way. If I went into if they were looking for a drummer and I walked in and Michael Shreve was there, I'd say, hey, I'm here for the roadie job.
Roadie jobs are okay, too.
Hey, oh, yeah.
What you got, Jimmy?
Oh, hey, you know, it's so funny that California, you know, wanted to secede. You know, we heard rumors about that. Well, apparently they're doing that anyway with all the stuff they're doing. I mean, you got Gavin Newsom wants to have us pay a fine if we don't have medical insurance. And I want to know, if there's such a big surplus in the California budget, why is he begging the Trump administration, which he hates so badly, for money for the homeless?
That's a good question.
You know?
Because there isn't a surplus in the budget.
Well, according to them, there is.
Well, of course that. But we all know that they're not counting the money correctly, one thing. But all the unfunded liabilities, all the money that could be spent on infrastructure, all the money that could be spent on so many things. You know, I've gotten to the point where when somebody says something, and I don't care which side it is, I take a step back. I just don't believe it.
Yeah, me either.
Hey, Jimmy, there is a recall today, a recall petition drive, and that's going to be over at 905 East Cypress, which is west of Rite Aid. It'll be between 1 and 3. Just drive right through there, and you can sign the petition to recall Gavin Newsom. As you know, we had Mimi Soros, no relation, who is one of the people who are heading up that whole thing, and she was at our meeting, as you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Illegal immigrant,
that's right. From what was she from? The Ukraine, and she came in with her folks. She was in the trunk of a car. That's how she came into the country. A lot of interesting things we have, folks, on when you start to think about what happens at the Patriot meetings on Monday night at 6 o'clock at 2570 South Bonneville.
At a church that shall remain nameless.
Yes, shall remain nameless.
Yeah, Jimmy,
I got
a
quick stop for you. There's 129,972 homeless in California.
Uh-huh.
And Gavin Newsom wants to spend $2.4 billion on them, which works out to $18,465 per homeless person.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot. And then one more thing before I get off the phone. Do you have any news about the NBC
yes.
thing? Okay. Well, I'll be listening for it on there, and have a good show, folks.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jim.
What he meant by the NBC situation is that we were interviewed by NBC. We were followed by three reporters, well, two reporterettes and the cameraman. It was really quite an interesting 3 days. They even went up to Fall River to see a candidates forum for Assembly District 1. And it was neat. I mean, I was really surprised on how unliberal that these two reporters were, Dasha and Abby.
In their coverage of you,
everything. I mean, the socializing, everything. They took us to dinner. I mean, and you know, we actually had some libation. And people should never ask me what I think after three beers. but anyway, it was great. And what they did is they recorded. It's going to be on NBC. It'll air nationally. And
but you haven't seen what they've.
Well, that's whatever ends up on the floor. I even asked him. I said, "Hey, I said, look, I go, what's going to end up on the floor here? And do you guys have much say in what happens here?" And they both kind of looked at me and said, "We get our way in a lot of cases, so we'll see what happens." I mean, you know, it is what it is. By the way, Carl, we do have a documentary coming out on PBS.
Oh, okay.
That's been about 3 years in the making, and just about 3 years, and it should be coming out. We're hoping it'll come out probably sometime at the beginning of next year. David Linville, who's the producer, came to my home about 3 weeks ago, and we sat in front of the computer because we had to cut 4 minutes out of the whole thing so the PBS could have the correct time allotted. Mm-hmm.
We're
excited about that.
Yeah, but so that'll be.
So you know what that the contents of that.
Pardon me.
You know the contents.
Oh yeah,
of that,
I've seen.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it.
Oh nice.
I just have to wait to get the okay, and then Carl, I'd be happy to send you.
Absolutely.
Chris, so you guys
we'll link it to our Facebook and our website, so everybody can see it. Or can you do that?
Well, we've got to wait until he gets all his legalities done.
Sure.
Again, it was the type of thing we had to cut down some minutes in there, and a lot of it was redundant, and some of it was old, because a lot of people say, well, you know, State of Jefferson could never succeed financially. Well, that's now gone. We have El Dorado Plaster now. That's all kind of gone down the slop chute simply because of the fact that that's just no longer the issue. I mean, that just isn't even relevant. Even to California, it's not relevant. So we have plenty of money up here.
How many patriot groups are there in Northern California, would you say?
You mean patriot groups or Jefferson?
Jefferson. Well, but the patriot groups usually are on kind of, is it synonymous that they're also helping with the state of Jefferson?
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're working with everybody, the 3%ers, the Oath Keepers. We're working with the California Tax Coalition. In fact, we just had a conference call with them. We're working with the Mad Moms that are fighting against vaccines. The idea is everybody to pull together. And I hope that we can get to the silver bullet, because I know that Trish wants to know.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about it then.
That's okay. Good.
We've got time right now.
Okay, good. Here's the silver bullet. We've been looking for some way to get our government back forever. And we've been fighting this thing for a long time. Well, here's how we get it back, and here's the deal. And this is what we are doing actively right now with all the things we've just talked about. Number one, we have to have representation. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution specifically says that each citizen is entitled to a Republican form of government, not a democracy, a Republican form of government. The reason we have two senators per state and we have the House built upon population is because the founders, Madison and Franklin and Washington, all understood that the smaller towns and townships had to be represented as well as the larger towns at the time, like Boston, New York, and Charleston. So, therefore, the Senate in the United States has a senator per two senators per state, no matter if you're big like California at 40 million or small like Wyoming at 500,000. Now, that's the way it used to be in California prior to 1964. We had a senator per county. Fast forward, right now we have one senator for 11 counties, and Los Angeles County alone has 11 senators. Now, who wins that football game? Well, maybe Tom Brady, but nobody else. Okay, 11-1. So as we look at what's going on here with everything, the thing we have to have is representation. The way we get representation is we have an adequate amount of people that a legislator can adequately serve and represent. You can't if you have a million people. First thing is representation. Second thing is protecting the Second Amendment. Without that, nothing matters. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. Just like without representation, nothing else matters. I don't care what the issue is. Nothing. The third thing is we have to create a situation, an environment for people who we elect to be able to represent those people. You can't do it in California because 40 senators and 80 assemblymen can't adequately represent 40 million people. And if you stop and think about that, in 1862, when that was capped, we had 417,000 people, and we had 50 judges. Now we have 2,500 judges. We still have 40 senators and 80 assemblymen, and we have 40 million people. Does that seem a bit unreasonable and a bit impossible?
Well, it's absolutely unworkable.
So the remedy is the state of Jefferson, just like the remedy in Washington is the state of liberty.
Okay, so the silver bullet is?
The state of Jefferson?
State of Jefferson is the remedy.
Remedy.
The silver bullet is representation. If California increases representation, if they go back to one senator per county, that would certainly help. Okay?
I think that would make a huge difference.
But they won't do it. We've asked every one of them, everybody down there. We've asked them, will you do this? Well, we hit the last Republican we asked. He said, well, you know, if I do something like that, they'll throw it out in committee and they'll chastise us. You know why? Because the Republican Party is no longer in power and is dead in California, period. It's dead. If you have 17 assemblymen out of 80, that's 63-17. How does that work?
But the Republican Party is pretty much, in my estimation, dead across the United States. They're not acting as Republicans. They're not supporting.
Oh, I agree with that.
Okay, but we had a vote in the Senate last week, or the first of this week, where 12 of the Republican senators joined with the Democrats against the president.
Oh, yeah.
They do it repeatedly. How do you even talk about that?
Well, that's true. And you're right. I mean, the difference is that there's only 10 senators in California against 30 Democrats. And a lot of people say, well, maybe we can go ahead and just switch these people around. And if the Republicans get more Republicans elected, it's still going to be 40 and 80. And the other thing is, too, name one time when a politician has relinquished power. Why would the majority say, gee whiz, you know, gosh, I'm going to have this come to Jesus moment, and I am just going to do what these. I'm going to work with these Republicans.
For the people.
Yeah, you know. I mean, come on.
There's been no change in this that I've seen since I've lived here in California. But we have to take a quick break here. I'm just here listening on this, and I think we've got another phone call that's just come in. But this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Strokes, they're certified as an advanced primary stroke care facility, and then the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals right here in Reading, right here at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, 8:31 in the morning, 75 degrees today, going up to 96, and so hopefully, and then it'll start slowing down a little bit here over the
rain by the next
rain and coming in our future here. We'll be right back, 8:31 in the morning here on the 26th of September. Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Reading.
Black Bear feels like home.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. They're getting a lot of business because there's a play out at Shasta College. It's going to be started in a few weeks. It's called A Few Good Men. And they have, it's a great play. They've asked me to be the technical advisor on it. So I've out there yesterday. I wish you could have seen it. I was marching around our millennials who did a great job, by the way, teaching them how to salute, how to address each other. They all, you know, if they don't say the first word out of their mouth isn't sir when they talk to me, I just ignore them. And then, but they've got it, and they've got a great attitude.
The young Marine John this morning
Welsh,
had it.
Oh, yeah. John Welsh is going to play the colonel in this. And I tell you what, he has captured this. So I told everybody, okay, you're not going to wear these uniforms unless you've got your hair cut correctly. So they're all going to go down to a Cypress Square Barbershop here in the next, you know, before October 7th, get their high and tights. I can't wait to see that. So it's going to be a great play, and we're going to be giving away tickets for that here in the future. So anyway, we're here with Terry Raposa, who has a show, a very popular show called State of Jefferson on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock in the morning. They have national guests on. They talk about things that really impact on the whole country and the representation. And it's not just here in California. We look at it here. But it's in every state where you have the urban pitted against the non-urban areas. And if you look at Washington, it's in Seattle. And then the rest of the state is much like it is up here in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And the battle is that because there's more people in that one spot than covers the whole state, and what they want happens, just like we have here. Did I capture that kind of?
Kind of. The thing is that San Diego actually is looking to do sort of what we're doing. And as I said earlier, I probably didn't explain who they were. The Taxpayer Coalition is a San Diego-based group. And a lot of Southern California is looking at it the same way. Really and truly, the deal is that the way the government's set up is wrong. We don't have adequate representation simply because, and that's why the CFR case we're doing, Citizens for Fair Representation, is for all Californians. It isn't about Jefferson. It's about Californians. A lot of our plaintiffs are from Southern California. Some of them are from the Bay Area. All different ethnic backgrounds, everything from people who are of Chinese descent, Japanese descent, African-Americans, Latinos, American Indians. So there's a lot of different variety in that. And the idea is to increase representation because that's the deal. Again, the silver bullet's representation. If your vote doesn't count and you're not represented, nothing else matters.
It seems to me that, you know, at that one time before that decision, where we had a senator for almost every county,
I think
they combined two counties here. That to me makes sense to me because then at least we'd have a say about what happens in our state.
Well, you're right. And in 1964, when that opinion, remember, folks, that the Supreme Court gives an opinion, then it's up to the state to adopt it. The state of California did not adopt the 1964 Reynolds versus Sims Supreme Court opinion until 1966. So we still had a senator per county. But see, the real deal is that, again, we talked, Carl, about power. and you talk about the Democrats being in power. Why would they relinquish power? Why would they? What would be their reason? You see what Gavin Newsom does every day. And, Carl, could you bring up that law you brought up yesterday that they want to pass about the if you're arrested and you're the sole provider for a child? Can you bring that up to the folks? That was just great.
Well, that's what Stephanie Bridget brought up. And here's the other thing, is the whole law enforcement system, from jails to the public defenders to the district attorneys to the police. Everybody knows this. Everybody thinks of it as a choke point at the jail, but it's more than that. The district attorney's cases are people who are working 6 hours or 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. And the reason for this is when AB 109 was pushed, they also were supposedly going to push money down to help take care of that. Well, they do, but, you know, how it's spent, the amount of money comes down, they never know how much it's going to be. But what Terry's talking about, all these new laws that they're passing, of course, Proposition 4757, we did to ourselves. The people in Southern California did it to all of us. But this newest one is if even before you go to trial, even before the district attorney has nothing to say about it, if you are the sole provider for a family, like you're the mother of these kids and you're the sole or the sole provider of money, so you could be the guy, but you don't live with them, you get arrested for a crime. They can put you in a diversion program that is very nebulous. You don't know how long it is. You don't know how, you know, what are the status of it.
They don't even charge you.
They're not going to go to jail. And this could be people that are breaking into your home. These are people that are selling drugs. These could be people stealing your cars. And they go into a pre-plea diversion. And the district attorney has nothing to say about it. And this is up to the judge.
And then if they don't stick with the diversion program, 2 years down the line, they're trying to make a case on a two-year-old charge when all the evidence and everything is gone.
It's gone. So this is another thing they're doing to us. So, yeah, but the whole thing on this in law enforcement is that we cannot rely on the state anymore. We have to take this in our own hands and do something about it.
Well, we can't, though, because here's why. The state – so you have mandatory spending and you have discretionary spending. And Trish knows about this because she was the board of supervisor. Here's the problem, Carl. Mandatory spending is what the state says you have to spend on something. Doesn't mean they don't send us our money back. They just tell us what we're going to spend our money on. And I believe at least one, there's several of the counties that I've talked to in Jefferson. The average seems to be between 13 and 70% is discretionary spending. And that's where Trish is nodding her head, so I have that pretty close.
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
but,
so.
Yeah, Shasta County when I left was 12%.
12%. Okay, thanks, Trish. Those are the things we're looking at here. So the real deal is that if the state keeps pumping more of these laws in and doing more things, we're never going to have enough police. When I first moved here in 1976, the first neighborhood watch meeting we went to, we don't have enough police. You're never going to have enough police. You're never going to have enough DAs. You're never going to have enough of this or enough of that. What you have to have is laws that are enforced and can be enforced, and not ridiculous laws talked about, Carl, that are coming out, or the guy who gets arrested 50 times for a nonviolent crime, breaking into your house, breaking into your car. A nonviolent crime is rape of an unconscious woman. Okay, so those are nonviolent crimes. So really and truly, we could throw as much money at it as we want. And here's one last thing I want to say about the money. This is no denigration to our law enforcement, but we keep dancing around the elephant in the room, which is the unfunded liability. Folks, we're going to have 5 police chiefs, including Chief Moore, who is going to be retiring probably on a couple $100,000 a year. And on top of that, he's going to have some medical, dental, all that good stuff. Now, I'm not saying he didn't earn it. Don't
but
get me wrong.
You're right. This is 5 in a row.
5 in a row. And so you're looking at millions of dollars.
We're starting with Chief Blankenship, too. Right? I mean,
he's
part of it.
But well, Chief Blankenship had been there for a long time.
Yeah. He had 13 years.
They put in 4 guys right straight in a that they knew were going to retire.
Yep.
I mean, they literally promoted them to build their retirement to retire.
Yeah, Chief Moore's going to go into construction. I mean, the deal is.
But, okay, wait. Here's.
That's what. But the city council
Chief
did
Moore
that.
Chief Moore was really clear with them. Said, if you make me the police chief, I'm going to retire in
2 years.
But it's not a surprise.
This is not about the people who did the job. They did the job, and they did a good job.
Yes.
And they were clear
right.
up front.
Yeah,
It's the city council that has put this burden on. They've already got these unfunded mandates. They know they've got them. They need to go out and hire a police chief that's going to be there for 10 or 15 years.
Well, they thought
not
the
somebody
was.
They know is going to be there for 2 years.
I
mean, that's.
I'm not going to argue that.
So how do you keep? So you keep asking for money to do what? Well, there's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. I mean, what was it? They're going to need. I forget. She said something yesterday. Stephanie said something about how many people it would take. In the long run, they need about 500 new people. On everything. I mean, 500 new people.
I don't remember her saying that.
It was something like that. We'll go back to the archive and
I know that we said is we need a jail that holds another 500 people for the size of this county.
But we also have to hire people to do all these different jobs.
Yeah, but I think it came out to something like four district attorneys. I think a total of 21 people in the district attorney to be able to support all that. They were talking about all the jail personnel that you have to, you are going to have to hire jail personnel.
Police officers.
If you're going to have a jail, you've got to hire all the majority of the money is going into the jail and hiring all the jail people. But then you also have to have for the people that are saying this is you also have to be able to have the district attorneys, the public defenders, the courtrooms, all of these things to be able to keep the system going. If there's a block someplace, the system isn't going to work. We're going to take a break now. This portion of the show is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. Frankly, if you've had enough of painting your house, the yard's dead in this one spot, all this stuff, and you're saying, you know what, I want to kind of relieve myself of all of these burdens, including cooking, River Commons Senior Living. Gourmet chefs, activity directors, they welcome pets there. They can arrange a tour for you, a personalized tour, just by giving them a call at 238-5981. Have lunch with the people there and see what it is. It's not an assisted living facility. This is River Commons Senior Living, a place to go to be able to kind of, I'm thinking, you've got anywhere from two-bedroom places down to one-bedroom to, studio apartments. Have all of that there at River Commons. Worry less, smile more. River Commons Senior Living. We'll be right back with Terry Raposa and Trish Clark, my partner.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. And Bruce, there's some tax credits that are coming to an end.
The 30% federal tax credit has been around for a number of years now, and it's starting to ramp down. And this is the last year of the 30%, full 30% federal tax credit.
And Powerhouse Solar sells and installs generators?
I'm a 10 electrical contractor, and we've been doing a lot of generators this summer. A lot of people just want to have the security to be able to stay in their home when PG has these rolling blackouts. And if there's a fire or for other reasons, it just gives the customer security to know that they can stay in their home.
And Bruce, what's the difference between renting and owning your power?
When you're a utility customer, it's like renting power. When you have a solar system by Powerhouse Solar, you're not only making a payment to an asset that you own, but you're stopping the ever-increasing rates of PG&E or REU. So that's the beautiful thing about having solar is that you are now an owner of your power that you produce as opposed to being a renter of power.
Come see the design showroom at Powerhouse Solar, 4616 Caterpillar Road. Call 275-5600 or powerhousesolar.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 8:50 in the morning here on the 26th, and what's the latest on our weather for the weekend?
We're looking for a high today of 96, a low of 62, decreasing the rest of the week, 79 on Friday. 72 on Saturday, some rain by Saturday night. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane.
I just went right out of my mind.
365-3793.
There you go. Hey, I have three tickets to the International Film Festival for the best sci-fi from all over the world, ranging from 3 to 15 minutes. It's going to be, it's for the festival. It's starting 7:30 tomorrow on the 27th. I have three tickets here for anybody that would like to go to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. They've got so many things happening there at the Cascade Theater. Give us a call, 605-4567. We're here with Terry Raposa from the State of Jefferson talking about the State of Jefferson representation. We've got a phone call. Stonewall, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, everybody?
Good.
I'm calling from South Jefferson down here in Tuolumne County, listening to you guys on the computer this morning. I just have a question for everybody. If you could go to Costco and look up on the shelf and buy representation, how much would that be worth to you? Would you spend $10 to buy yourself adequate representation? That's what we're asking everybody who we come in contact with is just send in $10. If we can get everybody who is suffering from the same ailment of lack of representation and dilution of our vote to send us $10, that'll see us all the way through this entire court proceeding and on into the future. So that's all I got to say this morning.
Okay, Stonewall, thanks a lot.
I got an address for that.
What's the address?
Oh. The address is SOJ Formation, P.O. Box 751, Palisadro, California, 96073. That's SOJ Formation, P.O. Box 751, Palisadro, California, 96073. And you can make your check out to SOJ Formation, and it's for the court case. It is for all Californians so we can have adequate representation. And the
one thing I'll say about that is the point here is if the people want representation, then the people need to get off of their fannies and get involved and be part of the process. Because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
You're right. You got to run again, Trish. That phone keeps ringing.
We've got people calling all the time. So who's on the line there, Sue?
We've got Mark.
Mark. Okay, Mark.
Is
this Mark Baird?
Yeah, it is. How you guys doing?
We got 7 minutes left, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I'm at work, so I was kind of on my way to a briefing and base and everything else. But, it's a very important case. And as you can, if you follow these types of cases, you can see that there are a lot of them being filed now, and with Judge Benitez in the Southern District of California, the character of the Ninth Circuit changing, we've got a better and better chance than we've ever had before to reverse this. I don't know if Terry mentioned, but 30 states have have sixteen states have constitutional carry, 30 states have permitted open carry, another 10 states have unpermitted open carry, but you have to have a permit to have a concealed weapon. There are only 5 states that don't allow carry, open carry in some form or another, and California is one of them. And they contend, their contention is, they can't possibly allow all lawful citizens to have access to firearms because it would upset their carefully balanced regulations and restrictions designed to promote order. That's in their court papers. They can't possibly allow law-abiding citizens access to the Second Amendment because it would upset their agenda.
I think that we were looking this up. I was talking to Terry yesterday, and we were looking it up for the number of states that allow open carry. I was surprised that there was that many.
45.
45 states allow open carry.
Open carry. You can carry the gun. Can it be loaded?
Yeah, well, yep. 30, yes.
Not in all states. Not in all states. I have to go back and look at that one.
I think she's talking about the 31 that...
Well, I don't know. That's my question.
Anyway, Mark, yeah, if you could elaborate on that, my friend, and also we do have the court case on October the 8th at the Robert Matsui Courthouse at 501 I Street, about that, Sacramento, California. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? And
there are no states that demand that you carry unloaded. All the states that allow open carry with a loaded weapon. California was the only state that had that idiotic unloaded carry thing.
You mentioned that yesterday, Carl, on the radio, and I thought, and the point of carrying an unloaded gun?
I know, that is very surprising. I mean, you can load your gun, you can carry the ammo with you.
Are we playing cowboy here, or what?
I don't know.
Here's the question I have, Mark, and maybe you can help answer this. You know, if our sheriff, for example, issued 10,000 concealed carry permits, well, if he thinks those people can carry a gun under their shirt or in their purse, and those people have the discernment to understand when to use it, when not to use it, because they've been trained, what's the difference between them open carrying and close carrying? And I know our sheriff made the comment that it made his officers nervous.
Well, look. Here's what it boils down to. No single state actor or single state agency should hold sway over the constitutional guarantees afforded us in the Bill of Rights. And there are several Supreme Court cases that say that states may not debar their citizens' access to enumerated rights. There are several Supreme Court cases, not the least of which is Murdoch v. Pennsylvania, that say that states may not turn rights into permissions nor charge a fee for the exercise thereof. Mm. So this is all pretty clear. California is a lawless state run by felons, and that's the fight we're in, guys. And if we don't start standing up and fighting for everything that we're entitled to, then who is the fool, them or us?
Yeah, because I would think that if in 45 states, if there's open carry or some form of it, that it's more of a training issue that has to the officers have to be trained better to not be nervous about law-abiding citizens. I mean,
I was a peace officer, and when I saw a gun, it didn't scare me. I mean, that's part of the job. If you can't handle the sight of a gun, McDonald's is always hiring.
I'm looking this thing up on about the 45. There are 45 states that allow it. The fact is, it's not saying how many of them are requiring. You're saying that every one of them says they can carry a loaded gun.
It makes absolutely no sense to carry an unloaded gun.
Every single one that allows open carry allows loaded open carry. 16 states are constitutional carry. You don't need a permit to carry a weapon concealed, unconcealed, or any way you want to. Another 20 or whatever it is, it makes up to 40, you can carry with a permit, but you can still carry, and none of them demand that you carry unloaded. California was the only one. We seem to be the only one in a lot of areas.
15 states require a permit or license to open carry, while 8 more have other restrictions on how, when, and where you're allowed to do so. Some restrict open carries in a way the state doesn't. In Pennsylvania, open carry is generally allowed without a license, but Philadelphia does require a license. So there are other licenses and permits that are required to do this.
Do it in some form or another. You can still do it, and that's the point. And in California, 25850 bans the open carry of a loaded weapon, and 26150 and 155b2 says that sheriffs and police chiefs have the ultimate authority over who may or may not carry a weapon in California, and we're going to prove that that's unconstitutional and it's wrong.
Okay. Well, that's true. I know Sam Peretta has made mention of even some of the restrictions. I know our sheriff has some restrictions. But
okay. Hey, look, we've run out of time here. So thanks, Mark, for calling in. And Terry's show is on Sundays at 9 o'clock here, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. If you want to learn more, there's all types of things, and they've got big announcements coming out here, you know, almost every week of things that are happening. So tomorrow we're going to have with us One Safe Place.
Yeah.
And House of Realty talking about trying to give us an update of everything that's happening in this area when it comes to homes. And
I'm going to host tomorrow.
And Trish is hosting tomorrow because I have an assignment. Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.